Please be seated. I take as my text from the lesson, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Let the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer."
Amen.
Happy Whitsun to you, and if you prefer, Pentecost. Today is the second most important holiday for Christianity because it is the day that we celebrate the foundation of the church by the coming of the Holy Ghost. The name Whitsunday comes from either the word wit, meaning understanding, or the color of the garments worn by catechumens who once at this time waited to be baptized. The name Pentecost is derived from the Greek for 50th, which was the Greek name for the holiday of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, which is 50 days after Passover. In the story which we read in today's lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, Jews from all over the ancient world had gathered together in Jerusalem to observe the Feast of the Pentecost. The disciples of Christ were gathered together in a home, waiting as Christ had instructed them upon his ascension. They were waiting for the coming of a comforter, but they were unaware as to what that would mean or what that would look like. The text states that when the Holy Spirit came, it blew into the room like a violent wind, and then moved like fire in the manner of a tongue of a snake among them, before settling upon their heads. Now that's some very vivid imagery, I think, though. We see that kind of imagery plenty throughout the scriptures. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended like a dove upon him. Now, for those of you who aren't avid bird hunters, doves aren't hunted for their abundance of meat. The breasts are the only thing edible on the whole bird, and those are about the size of a half-dollar coin. No, doves are hunted for the sport of it, because they fly erratically, fluttering up and down, back and forth, moving much like the tongue of a snake. When Christ ascended, the Gospels state that he arose up into heaven and was taken up by a cloud. So why all this imagery to describe things and events which we would today understand as being spiritual and invisible? Judaism in the ancient world did not have a concept of a spiritual world separate from the physical world. In the mind of the ancient Jews, as well as some contemporary Jews, the body and the soul are linked eternally. Heaven is the kingdom of God, and a new Jerusalem with a literal physical resurrection, and the soul of the individual dwells with the body until that day of resurrection. Worship was a physical act, complete with rocking and beating the chest and blood sacrifices. The burning of incense was a way which the believer could see their prayers rising up into the heavens. Now we know today that heaven is not a physical place. One cannot reach God by traveling upward, like Nimrod tried to with the Tower of Babel. When we read the vivid imagery that describes the events of the Bible, we are seeing both how God chose to communicate the invisible world to a people who had no notion of it, and a glimpse into that people's attempt to understand it. We don't actually often reflect on the actual events of the Pentecost. Those who do this the most often believe that true Christian belief, and the contemporary church with it, should resemble the foundation of the church upon the gift of the Holy Spirit. I tried my hardest to find some rattlesnakes for us to handle today. I couldn't find any in the backyard, though. Snake handling, speaking in tongues, prophesying, drinking poison, and flopping around on the floor are often what comes to mind when we think about the Pentecost and those charismatics that derive their name from that one point in Christian history. But are we missing out? If the apostles showed others their gift of faith by speaking in tongues, shouldn't we too speak in tongues when or if this Holy Spirit comes to us? Now, I've been going to churches of the Baptist, Methodist, and various Catholic persuasions my whole life, but I have never seen anyone of any level of faith perform even one of those actions. Why not? Shouldn't we try? This whole charismatic show that people put on is nothing new. Soon after the first generations of Christians had passed, came the Montanists, who believed that the Holy Spirit gave them the gift of prophecy and would send them into ecstatic fits and visions. The Society of Friends emerged in the mid-17th century England under the belief that no one could lead the church but the Holy Ghost himself. They are known to sit around in their meetings and wait for the Spirit to move them, and this will often take the form of violent shaking, which lends the members their common name, Quakers. Beginning in the Third Great Awakening of the late 1800s, Pentecostal groups began to emerge from the Restorationist movement, which attempted to reestablish the true church, which they believed was lost after the death of the apostles. That true church, according to their interpretations, could only exist through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which would be made manifest in visible form. Unfortunately for us, this sentiment spread to many other branches of Christianity during the Fourth Great Awakening that began in the 1960s. What all of these charismatic groups failed to comprehend, be it through stubbornness, poor biblical study skills, or ignorance of history and theology altogether, is that the time of these types of gifts of the Holy Spirit has passed. According to the Apostle Paul, Christianity's first theologian, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, the time of those gifts has passed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul states that prophecy and speaking in tongues shall pass away, which I believe was covered in one of our hymns today. Others of these charismatic persuasions handle snakes and drink poison because of a passage in the Gospel according to St. Mark. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. What these poor, misguided folks don't understand is that Christ spoke in parables, and that he is not telling them to go out and do these things. It is a sin to try and test God, and any negative repercussions from this kind of worship are on their own heads. No. The story that we heard in today's lesson is not a story of people mumbling gibberish which no one can understand, like the speaking in tongues of our erroneous brethren. Often, when charismatic Christians ask me about Anglicanism, they ask me if we speak in tongues. And I answer emphatically, yes, English. Let's just say that doesn't meet with great reception. However, in my lighthearted answer rests the truth of today's lesson. The apostles were speaking the languages of other people. Their gift wasn't a useless sign of their faith. It was a useful tool for spreading the word of God. Therein are the true gifts of the Spirit. Our gifts are given to us for our sanctification, to bring us closer to God, and for us to bring others to Him. In truth, we don't need any other proof. God works little miracles in us all the time. And if we give ourselves over to the true Holy Spirit, then through us, others will hear the wonderful works of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.